Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Zayin. And we're holding today on the last line of Mem Vav Amud Beis. So that, remember, the idea overall that we've been talking about is a din of Kedima. We had all types of issues of Kedima, which bracha, which food, which person. Now, one of the concepts of Kedima, obviously it's a something of the tangential concept of Kedima, but Kedima also includes allowing a person to walk in front of you. In other words, let's say you get to a door and two people have to go through the door. So you have to allow one or the other person. That's also a din in Kedima. And since it also devolves on the issue of Kaved, which has to do with who is Botzea and who is the one who does the Bracha Achrona, the Berachas HaMatzah, and the Zimon, so we bring it in over here as well as connected to Kedima. So Tana Rabbana, Ein Mechabdim lo Bedrachim velo Bikshareim. We do not give Kedima to a more choshev person on the road and on a bridge. Now, remember, on a road, what this understands on a road means that if two people happen to meet up, if you're going together with somebody else on the road, then it's very not appropriate for you to start going ahead of them when it's an Adam Gadol that you're with. We're talking about two people who are traveling separately and happen to bump into each other on the road. There's no chiyuv to be makdim, the person who's a Gadol. The same thing is true when you get together to a bridge. And remember that in those days, the bridges were not exactly 100% reliable. So you'd say the Adam Gadol, why don't you go first? Then we'll find out if I can follow, you know. That certainly is not an appropriate way to show kavod. Nor is Yadayim Mizoamot. So now you're at the end of the sudi, you want to be mechabit somebody to wash his mayim achronim. You're telling him, okay, well, your hands are really dirty. Why don't you go first? So that's also not exactly a kavod. Now, Ravin and Abaya were going on the road, and apparently they weren't going on the road together. So according to Tosfos, they bumped into each other, and Ravin's chamor pulled in front of Abaya's chamor, you know, and he was going up ahead, and he didn't say to Abaya, Nezomar, please, sir, you go in front. Oh, so Abaya says to himself, my God, this boy, since he started going to Eretz Yisrael and learning in Brisk, he thinks he's in charge of everything, you know? So what he used to do, Ravin used to go to Eretz Yisrael and would come back with all of these dinim that he'd heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So now he thinks he's hoity-toity, and now he doesn't have to say that I should go ahead. Anyway, so they're running along over here. When they come to a Beit HaKnesset, they want to go into the Beit HaKnesset, Ravin says to Abaya, please, sir, you go first. So Abaya is pretty angry at this point. So he says, oh, all of a sudden I am sir, am I? And ad hashta lav marat, lav mar ana. And so Ravin gets in one of his last shtachs over here because he says, look, you know, I just came back from Eretz Yisrael and I heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you actually don't have to be mechabed on the road, which is why I didn't say, but over here we're at a Beit HaKnesset. And therefore, it would be okay, because what Rabbi Yochanan said was, Ein mechabdim, ela bepetach sheyesh ba mezuzah. But when it comes to it, this doorway, I have to be mechabed you. What do you mean mezuzah? But a shul doesn't have a mezuzah. So you're telling me dafke if it has a mezuzah? Because remember, you only put a mezuzah in a shul if there's a place for aniyim to sleep there and so on. So the eat be mezuzah in the late mezuzah zelo. So then the Beit HaKnesset or Beit HaMedrash doesn't have a mezuzah. So then you don't say to the Rebbe to go in first. Hachinami de ein mechabdim. No, it didn't mean it has a mezuzah. He means that it's a real doorway, and that if it were the type of place that needed a mezuzah, it would have a mezuzah. Masha ein kein, where you're talking about a break in a wall, you know, or a churva where there's no longer any top to do or whatever, that's not a Pesach HaRoi LaMezuzah. And over there, you come to like a crack in a wall. You don't say to an Adam Gadol, you go through the crack first. That's what it means. Okay, now, Omer Rav Yehuda Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilat, Mishmei the Rav. There's another issue over here. We were talking about eating first, right? Now, who is able to be Tayyam first? Who gets the first choice of the meat and so on and so forth? But you should know that you cannot, if you are at a table and you hear somebody making the motzi, you cannot eat anything until the one who made the bracha starts eating. And that he used the word achi yit ad shiyit om habotzeya. So Eina Misupin Rishayim Le'echol Achiyitom. Rav Safra didn't like that. And he said, no, that's not what it said. It says Eina Misupin Rishayim Lit'om. Who cares? It's the same thing, isn't it? My nafkamina is Shechayav Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo. When you hear a halacha, you don't say it's the same thing. You say it over precisely as the Lashon HaRav. Tana Rabona. If you've got two people that are going to be eating out of the same common plate, that's called Shnayim in a Ka'ara, so then it's inappropriate for one guy to start eating before the other guy comes. You wait until the other guy's there, and if he had to walk out and go to the bathroom or something, you know, and you see your chance to gobble up all the rest of the food, no. You have to wait for him to come back. But if you've got three people and one of them had to go out, they two of people don't have to wait for the third. Another halacha is that the guy who made the bracha is also the one who takes the first portion, even if he isn't the gadol. But if he was the one that was given rishus to be botzea. Now, if this is not a din, however, in a chiyuv of kedima, and if that person wants to give rishus to somebody else to take first, of course he could do so. So if there's somebody who's a gadol himeno, then he has a right to give him the kavod. So im balach look for the rabbi mishigadol arushut biyato. Rabbi bar bachana v'yasek le'levrei be'rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina. So he was trying to get his son married off to Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina's daughter. Now kodeim v'yasev. So before they got to the actual seuda in which this kid would be the chosen, and then they were going to be mechabit the chosen. Now in those days, you needed to teach the chosen the facts of life. The facts of life, of course, concerned the dinim of how he was going to make the brachas right at the Suda. That's what's important, because he was the one that was going to be mechubad with everybody's mechabit the chosen. So he says to his son, okay, let's sit down. Let me teach you the facts of life, okay? Most important thing you got to know before you got married. You're not allowed to cut the bread before everybody says amen. Now don't make an idiot out of yourself. So we had before the halacha that you don't cut the bread. Remember our machlokas, but we ended up asking you don't cut the bread until you actually finish saying the entire bracha. Then we talked about making a little mark on the bread and so on, but you're not allowed to cut the bread. My chiddush to you, my dear son, is that you cannot make that cut through the bread until amen is completed, because the amen is actually part of the bracha. We don't consider a bracha to be complete without everyone having answered amen. Rav Chista says, well, no, let's not exaggerate. You don't need everybody to finish the amen. There's always going to be a guy, you got to learn, Rav Barnea, to use your icons. The icon is there. You know, this is what happens to archaeologists, because to an archaeologist, an icon is a totally different meaning. You forgot how to use an icon on a screen. So why wait for everybody? It's enough for most people, said Rami Bar Chomin. That doesn't make any sense. If you hold that the amen is part of the bracha, so then what do you mean rov? Rov has nothing to do with it. The fact is that the bracha is continuing, isn't it? So what right do you have to say, well, this guy's amen is taking too long? So he said, no, I'll tell you. Because I hold, a guy who gives you one of these super duper long frum amens is making a big mistake, because that's not an amen at all. Once a word is too elongated, it no longer sounds like that word. And because of that, those amens don't count as an extension of the bracha, ki yuzeh. Therefore, I'm saying if there's people that are outliers, it's very interesting because, of course, rov is what is defining the outlier. He's not giving a specific shear for the amen. He's just saying that you have a right to cut out the outliers. So the people, once you've got a rov, the other people are doing too much. Tana Rabbanan, ein onim lo amen chatufa, velo amen kitufa. When you say your amen, you've got to be very careful not to make that amen chatufa. Now, what exactly is a chatufa? Let's take them one by one. Rashi learns chatufa means you said it with a shva, chataf. Remember, a shva is a linguistic term. The word for a shva in Hebrew is always chataf, meaning that it's pronounced very quickly. And that's the equivalent of shva. It doesn't have a vowel to really attach to it. So this is the way, unfortunately, that many, many people say amen. They say amen, 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 There's no comments under the olive. I mean, so basically it's like M&M. So there's an E at the beginning that you can somewhat hear, but there's certainly no comments. That's not the word Amen at all. So that's one pshat in the Amen Chatufa. The other pshat in the Amen Chatufa is that you say it too quickly. So before the guy finishes the bracha, you're already hopping on your Amen. You know, there's always guys in shul that hope that they can speed up the process if they say Amen as soon as the chazit says Baruch Atah Hashem, right? So Amen, Amen, you move on already, right? So that's an Amen Chatuf according to others. Lo Amen Yitoma, and Amen Yitoma has no father, meaning there's no bracha that it's attached to. Either because you've waited too long to say the Amen after the bracha, and once it's after the shir of the Sheila Sholem, it's no longer part of the bracha. And we just learned it has to be part of the bracha. Or it means you don't know what you're answering Amen to. You walk into a room, everybody's saying Amen, and you, oh, okay, great opportunity, I'll say Amen too. I didn't hear anything from the chazan or anything. That is called a yitoma. Now, Rashi and Tosfos both point out that even though in Alexandria the shul was so big, you could never hear what the guy was saying, but they had a system in which they would wave flags, and they would put it up on a screen on top of the shul. Okay, where the chazan is now saying Baruch Atah Hashem, etc. Then over there you could say Amen, but that's because you knew what the chazan was saying because of the screen or because of the flags. That is not called a yitoma. Furthermore, Lo yizrok bracha mipiv, do not. Chatufa. Say lo amen ketufa. So amen ketufa would be some learn that that's the amen that you say too quickly. Another learns like Rashi, that it means there's no real nun at the end. Amen, amen, amen. You say that you don't pronounce the nun properly. And you should not say a bracha the way most people say a bracha. That's not a bracha. So you should not be zorek bracha mipiv as if like, okay, I know I got to say something over here, blah, blah, blah. But rather it should matter to you. And Benazi Omer, kol ha'oneh amen yitoma, then let his kids be yitomim. If he ends with an amen chatufa, so let his days be chatufim. Grab away his days, let him live less. If he says an amen ketufa, which is basically, it's cut short, so let his days be cut short. Now, Rav and Shmuel were once sitting at a meal, and Rav Shimi Bar Chiya sees them sitting, and he joins them and starts rushing to finish up so that he would be able to say a zimun with them. So Rav said, what are you getting all excited for over here? It's too late, buddy. You can't join us. We finished eating already. The fact that you're eating, you think you could finish real fast because we're going to have a cup of coffee? No. Wait a minute. We didn't really. I mean, listen, we both have our weak spots, right? I mean, if somebody would bring me some mushrooms right now, I mean, come on, I couldn't resist mushrooms. So I would certainly be eating mushrooms. I mean, you know what hobbits and mushrooms are like. And what if they brought to you Abba? That's machlokas, whether Shmuel called Rav Abba out of Kovid, which actually is a greater Kovid calling him Abba, or Adarabba out of Chavivas, because his real name was Abba, and Rav was the Kovid. This is a machlokas we've had many times. In any event, how about for you, Abba? I mean, if they would bring you some nice gozalot, they would bring you some nice truffles is also fine, yeah. So if they would bring you some nice pigeons, you know, you always go for that. You would have eaten, so you can't say we finished the meals. We didn't really finish the meal because we are ready, so we can join with Rav Shimi. Talmidei de Rav were once sitting in a meal. Remember, we had this problem before. If everybody's the same, so then what do you do? Who's going to say the Birkas HaMazon? And they were all sitting, and all of a sudden Rav Acha walked in, and they were so happy. Oh, Rav Acha is here, Baruch Hashem. Here is an Asa Gavra Rabba, the Mevarech Lan. He is more Chacham than we are. He's older than we are. Great. Omar Lelus, Rav Acha said to them, no, gentlemen, I can't be the one. What, you think that the Gadol is Mevarech always? No, it has to be a member of the primary Seuda. I'm just here like at the end so I can join in, but I can't bench for all of you. It has to be a member of the Ika Sheba Seuda Mevarech, but that is not true. Actually, the halacha is the Gadol is Mevarech, even though he came in very late. Now, let's get to the part of the Mishnah that does not seem to make any sense. Remember that the Mishnah is talking about that in order to be Mitztarif Lezimun, you had to have eaten food that was Ra'ui. But if you ate food that wasn't kosher on some level, then we're not going to be, now this is a big machlokas, we're not going to be metzarif yulazimun, that for sure. But there are others, including the Rambam, who says, no, you don't make a bracha at all. Because somebody who eats iser, ein ze mevorech ela minnaetz. So the Raven and others learned that that's not a refa. You don't have a right to not to make a bracha, which now you also want to steal, besides eating something that isn't kosher. It just means you can't be mechabed the shame with Zimun to say nevorech elokeinu on these wonderful pork chops. Fine, that you don't do. It's not going to potter you from the bracha. Okay, in any event, certainly for Zimun it's awesome. So then the Mishnah gives a whole bunch of examples, and the examples don't make any sense. They don't make sense either because it ought to be usher, or they don't make sense because, well, obviously the case stated is mutter. So let's take the first case. You ate demai. How could you eat demai? That's not kosher. It's lo chazile. Ah, but it is, you see, because if you wanted to, the easiest thing in the world is to become poor, right? So now all you need to do is to be mafkir all your nechasim. Or alternatively, you could call the IRS and ask for a tax review. But in any event, it's easy to become poor. So once you become poor, you then are allowed to eat demai. Because it says in the Mishnah in demai that you're allowed to feed aniim demai and achsanai demai. And achsanai would be a soldier that is being supported by rule of law, being supported by you. And if there's machlokas, we're talking about a Jewish soldier, Tosis understands a Jewish soldier, you're allowed to feed him demai, because he too is considered to be at that point the equivalent of aniim. And the others learned something about a goyish soldier, and the chiddush is that you're allowed to use your demai to potter your debt to the government. It's not considered to be stealing from the Kohen and the Levi. So you could be ma'achili. So therefore, ultimately, we don't view it as not kosher, because it could be kosher if you want it. V'yomer avuna, tana beit shamay omri ma'achilina ta'aniyim v'ta, ein ma'achilina ta'aniyim v'ta'chsanai demai. And if, the Tosfos explains, why are we suddenly mentioning who cares about beit shamay? We care because in the event that you hear another version of the halacha, you should just know to ignore it because it's keneged beis hillel. The next thing we had was ma'aser rishon shenitla trumato. That's a ridiculous statement. Obviously, if you took off your trumas meiser from your meiser rishon, so then it's completely kosher. So what's the chiddush that you're supposed to say a bracha? Of course you're supposed to say a bracha. So now let's understand the halacha is like this. Remember that the kohen is not given a chelek in the dagon until it's called dagon. In order for it to be called dagon, because it says reshis digancha, now, dagan means that it was already idgan. Idgan means it's put into a pile, smoothed out, and now it's really kernels of grain. Meiser can be taken from the time that something has grown, and it's now finished. It doesn't have to be dagan. What happened in this case is that a Levi inappropriately took his meiser while the produce was still in a state that could not be called dagan. Now, the question is, normally, if the Levi has meiser, remember that 1/50th or 1/60th, whatever the shear is, but that little amount of it belongs to the kohen, because you never took off the truma gedola yet. What if you take off your trumat maaser after you finish preparing this maaser of the Levi? Remember, you have to take off a tenth of a tenth, which is called a trumat maaser. Amazingly, the Torah in that case says that once you take off the tenth of the tenth, it includes within it the portion of the kohen for Truma Gedola. So the 10% of the miser that was the kohen's also includes the 1/50th or 1/60th or 1/40th, depending on the Shir D'Rabbanan, that was meant to go to the kohen. That's what happened over here. So you might have thought that since you only took off a tenth of a tenth, you never took off that extra amount that was the Truma Gedola after it became Roy for Truma Gedola, so it was not allowed to be eaten. It would still be Tevel. Kamash Malan, that if Igdimo Bishibolim, the Levi came, took off Trumat Maaser, v'loi frishu menu Truma Gedola, it would still be kosher. Why is that? As Rabbi Abo pointed out, because Domir Rabbi Abo, Amar Reish Lakish, we have this beautiful pasuk that teaches us that Maaser Rishon, that you took off as a Levi, which you shouldn't have, but you went ahead and you had gotten the Maaser while it was still in the Shibolim, on unprocessed grain. It is sufficient to take that off, and it's part of Truma Gedola, because otherwise, how do you explain the pasuk? The pasuk says, "V'harei motem mimenu trumat Hashem, Ma'aser mina ma'aser. Then why are you adding Trumat Hashem? You want to tell me the din? Say, take off a fifth, take off a tenth of a tenth. So therefore, it's telling me sometimes the entire Trumat Hashem is ma'aser mina ma'aser amarti lecha, velo truma gadola plus Trumat ma'aser ma'aser mina ma'aser amarti lecha. So you see that it's kosher. So Rav Papa said to Abaita, wait a minute. So if that's what the pasuk says, then that's enough, right? What's the difference whether you took it off while it was still in its ears or you took it off after it already become doggone? I mean, the Torah says take off one tenth of a tenth and that's it. So then afilu igdimu bikrinami. Omar lei, so Abaya said to Rapapa, aha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew a guy like you was going to come along one day. And because of that, Alecha, it's in order to make sure you don't get away with that argument that the Pasuk, the next Pasuk then says, Mikol ma'asrotechem tarimo trumat Hashem. What do you mean, mikol ma'asrotechem? That's the point. Even though you already had taken off, because El Alavim to daber leimor, mikol matnotechem, rather it says, tarimo et trumat Hashem, that means all, even trumat ma'aser and trumat gedola, all of the truma. Okay, so now how do you know which one is which? Umara ita. How do you know when you are Yotze only with Ma'aser Mina Ma'aser, and when you need to take off all of the Trumat Hashem, both the 50th and the 10th? Huh? It's simple. Hai Idgin v'hai lo Idgin. Once it became Dagan, so then it's Reshis the Gantchan, it was already the Kohen's rights to get it, so you can't take away those rights. But where you took it off before the Kohen ever got rights, it makes sense that there the Torah is saying. If it's saying it anywhere, it would be on that case. Next case, Ma'aser Sheni and Egdesh that were Nivdu. Well, obviously, if they were Nivdu, then of course they're kosher. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be Poda'et, right? Ah, but we're talking about over here a poorly done pidyon, meaning the guy did give the Karen that it's worth, but he, being the owner, was also bechuyev to take off another 25%, which equals one-fifth of the total, and he didn't. So therefore, it's coming to tell me, even though he didn't take it off, that's not ma'akev, the chomish is not ma'akev, and it's kosher at this point. The next case, which is a shamash who ate a kizayis, is mitzarif. Well, why not? Pshita, I mean, he ate, didn't he? No. It's not pshita, because ma'adatema shamash lo kova, kamash malan, even though he's getting up and he's moving back and forth, and you'd think he's not really part of the meal, kamash malan, he is considered to be part of the meal. And you can also be mezamein on a kuti. Obviously, this was before the gezerah that the kuti would consider to be kigoyim kekol dovar. But why? Forget about the status of a kuti. I mean, most kutim are an ama oret. So just stop and let the guy be an ama oret. And it says in a brayta ein mezamnim al ama oret. That was only in those days. We don't do this anymore because of the fact that it causes immense social stress. So, and that's the whole Gemara Chagiga. We don't cause social stress based on the issue of an ama oret. And so the reason that you shouldn't have the kuti is because he's an Amma Aretz is a bai who says in Amma Aretz. Maybe we're talking about a kuti chaver. Rava says, no. He could be a kuti who's not a chaver, which is the normal state of a kuti. A kuti, what he's learning in the yeshiva, is a Talmud Chacham. But it doesn't matter because Amma Aretz, that you're not allowed to be mitzarif to your zeman, it's talking about a guy who eats things that aren't meisered properly. And that's not what we're referring to. Here we're talking about the Amma Aretz of the Rabbana, not the Amma Aretz of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, who's an Amma Aretz? The Tanya Ezra Amma Aretz. If the guy doesn't eat chulin b'taira, he's an Amma Aretz. So then you're right. Obviously, his gusi is not eating his chulin b'taira, but that's not what we're referring to. That's Rabbi Meir's shita. We're talking about Amma Aretz going to Rabbana. The Rabbana say an Amma Aretz is somebody who doesn't take off trumas and maisers properly. So then the reason you can't be mitzaref him is because he's not eating kosher food. That's the same thing as somebody, like it says in the Mishnah, who is eating tevel. Fine. But a kusi, on the contrary, if he for sure takes off maiser, because kusim are more machmir than regular people. Remember, anybody that's part of a cult of some kind is going to be extremely careful about the rules of the cult. So they are Isurei Maaser because the din is that anything that is written in the Torah, they're super duper makpid on because that's their concept of God's will. The Omar Mar Kol Mitzvah Shechziku Bakutim. If the Kutim happen to believe in this mitzvah, you can be sure they're going to do a better job than you will. Harbei Medaktikim Bo Yoter Mi Yisrael. It's always easy to be medaktik on things that you've made up for yourself. Tana Rabbanan. What is considered to be an Amma Aretz, which you already mentioned, the sugya, So there's different dargas of Amoritz. An Amoritz Koshenu Kori Kriyat Shema Arvis for Shachris. The guy isn't even makbet on Kriyat Shema. That's an Amoritz. It could be, by the way, some say that Bizman Hazeh, that even today we wouldn't be mitzar of somebody like that in Zimun, because that's like a guy who's a bedafkinik. Well, if you don't say Kriyat Shema, you know that everybody says Kriyat Shema. So says Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Amoritz, somebody who never puts on tefillin. Ben Azai says, someone who's wearing a beged of Arba Kanfot and it doesn't have tzitzis on it. Rabbi Nosson says, a guy who doesn't put a mezuzah on his home. Rabbi Nosson Bar Yosef Omer, Koshi Yesh Lobonim and Megandl Natalmud Torah. He's got kids and he sends them to public school. Acherim Omer Mafilu Korah Vashana. This guy could be an amazing person and he knows Torah, but he was never Mishamish Tamir Chachomim to understand how to work out what he knows and what the Torah is really trying to say. That's considered to be an Amar Oretz. And Amar Ravuna, that's how we paskin. Now, there was a story where Rami Bar Choma, who held like Ravuna, because of that, he refused to allow Rabbi Nashia Bar Tachlifa to be part of his Zimun. Even though Rabbi Nashia Bar Tachlifa was a Bucky and Sifra and Sifri and Hilchasa, he knew the whole Shulchan Aruch by heart, so to speak, in his days. And he wouldn't allow him to be part of the Zimun, because he held the end of Mishamish Tamir Chachomi. Now, when Rami Bar Choma died, Rava said, you should know Rami Bar Choma only died because of the way that he treated Rabbi Nashia Bar Tachlifa. What a bizoyan not to allow somebody, a Talmud Chacham like Rabbi Nashia Bar Tachlifa, into his Zimun. What do you mean? He's doing the right thing. I thought, Acherim Omri, Mafilu Korav Shon Veloshimish Tamir Chachom, Arizama Oretz, and it says that that's the halacha, so what did he do wrong? No. He thought that Rabbi Nashia Bar Tachlifa was not Mishamish Tamir Chachom, but he should have found out more. He was actually Mishamis. It was Mishmalu L'Rabbanan. It was Rami Bar Choma's fault for not finding out what the behavior was that he didn't know about. He figured, well, I never see him coming to Shir, so if he never comes to my Shir, he obviously doesn't care to be Mishamish Tamir Chachamim. But that wasn't true. Maybe he didn't come to Shir, but he definitely did speak things over with Tamir Chachamim. Another Lashon says, even if he isn't part of the actual Shir, it doesn't matter, because he was Shama Shmaitse Mipumayo de Rabbanan Vigoreslu. When he learned the Sifra and the Sifri and the Ilkas Hatzon and so forth, it wasn't that he just learned it like out of an art scroll or something. He listened to Talmidei Chachamim, who were explaining how they had worked out the sugyas, even though he didn't put his brain to it in order to become part of the Gemara, but he actually heard the process. And that's the equivalent of being like at least a Tzur B'Mirabbanan. You're like a beginner. And certainly a Tzur B'Mirabbanan, a young Talmud Chacham who's beginning, is certainly made part of a Zimun. Next thing in the mission was, if you eat Tevel or Maaser Sheni without taking off Truma, then you can't. Well, obviously you can't be part of a Mezumen Tevel. What do you mean? You're eating Tarfis. You might as well be eating pork. It's worse than pork. It's Chayv Misa. No, we're talking about that. It wasn't Tevel D'Oraita. It was Tevel D'Rabbanan. What would be Tevel D'Rabbanan? Let's say you grew it in a flower pot that didn't have a hole. So the Rabbanan were mechayev of you anyway to take off Trumas and Maisers from your flower pot that has these different, that has spices growing in it. You know, lots of people grow spices in a flower pot and they figure they don't have to take off Trumas and Maisers, but they do have to take off Trumas and Maisers in certain situations. By the way, they also think that they could put in a bunch of different spices in the same flower pot, even though it's Kilayim. It's another common error that people don't think about. So that would be a case. What would be the case of Maiserisha, that you didn't take off Trumas Maiser? Well, obviously, it's Tevel, you're Chayav Misa, Pshita. Ah, we're talking about over here, not that you didn't take off Trumas Maiser. You did take off Trumas Maiser, but you didn't take off the Truma Gedola in the case where the Levi had taken it earlier, but he didn't get it while it was still in the corn state. He got it in the already dug on state, because it's already in a decree. And this guy thought, or you might have thought, that we should follow his thinking. Well, I mean, you know, Rav Papa said to Abaye, if that's the case, then why not go all the way and allow somebody who takes off Ma'aser Min HaMa'aser to be Yotzi the whole deal, and Lechatchila not to have to take off Truma Gedola. Ah, Kamash Malan, that Kiddushani lay the way Abaye said, Alecha Omar Kro Mikol Matanotechem Tarimu Et Kol Trumat Hashem. Next one was Meiser Sheni, that wasn't Podui. Well, obviously, what do you mean? It's Isser Gomer. You're not in Yerushalayim. How are you eating Meiser Sheni? No. You were poded, of course, but you weren't poded properly. Why? Because you used a subway token to be poded your Meisters. You put it on an Asimon. If you put it on an Asimon, then you're not Yodsei. That's the Kiddush of the Mishnah. Why not? Because when the Torah says to put it onto money, it uses the word Vitzarta HaKesef Biyadecha. It's a play on words. We're using Vitzarta to mean Kesef Sheyesh Alav Tzura. An asimon, a token, does not have a picture on it. That's the point of the asimon. So it's not a government-minted value. And because of that, it's not called kesev now. Hegdesh chilu agabi karka. The case of hegdesh that was done improperly is you were poded on real estate. And it says, v'natan, Rachman Omar, natana kesev akam. It has to be something that you can give me yad liyad. Then we said if a shamish ate, but he ate less than a kezayit. Well, obviously, anybody who eats less than a kezayit is not included. You're right. This part is really not necessary, but we're trying to keep things even. You know, we have the parallel ratio. We talk about demai versus teva. We talk about truma, then that you took off the truma's mice. So we say the same thing in the sefer. And we included this case too. I did a ton of ratio because over here we said pochus b'kezayis. Then the next case, which was the parallel case to the kuti, says that if a guy's a goy, he can't be included. Obviously, you can't include a goy. No, the kiddush over here is he's a goy technically. But, I mean, he's really a ger, right? And he even got a bris milah. And he didn't go to a mikveh yet. Well, you know, it turned out the mikveh wasn't kosher. It was like only a mikveh for men, not a kosher mikveh. The Omer Rabbi Zera Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't matter. The guy remains a complete and total goy unless he was yomu v'tovo. And as long as he was lo tovel, he's a nochri, even though he's been studying for 20 years and he's a big tzaddik and everything else, it doesn't matter. He has a din of a goy. That's the chiddush. Noshim avarim kitanim, we do not include. Omer Ravasi, you can include a koton and a zimon, even if he's an infant in a cradle. What? It says in the Mishnah, noshim avarim kitanim ein mezamnim aleihem. He was going al libur Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said that even though they say you can't be mezamein on a katan as in a cradle, you can include him in a group of 10. Because over there, he just sort of fills out the group. So he's called a snif liasaran. Another thing that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says is that if you've got 9 people, you can add an eved to make a minion. You can say Kaddish and Kedusha and all works. Meisvei. How could you say this? There was a meisvei with Rabbi Eliezer who walked into a Beit HaKnesset and there was no minion. And the only way he got a minion was to free his own eved and be mitzarefim to Asara. But you see that he needed to free the eved and he couldn't just include the eved. And you say you can include the eved to be the 10th man. The case over there was that he needed 2 people and he had 2 avadim. So one eved he had to free to make number 9. Then you can use one eved to fill out the minion. So he made it work out. He trains for chajikur chad and so on and so forth. Wait a minute, you're not allowed to do that. Doesn't it say in the Torah, la'olam ba'amta avodah, and Revuta says that's a mitzvah d'oraita, and it would be an iser over on a mitzvah asay, la'olam ba'amta avodah? Yeah, but over here he was doing it for a dvar mitzvah. So what? What do you mean a dvar mitzvah? It's a mitzvah ba'aveira. You can't do that. Yeah, but this is a more chomer mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah to rabbi. Now, many of the Rishonim learned, the pshat over here is, that the basis of the issue, la'olam ba'amta avodah, is because if you don't, then you're being nice. And you're not allowed to be nice. That's one of the biggest surim in the Torah, which is lo techanim. You can't be nice to an akum, just for the purposes of being nice. But once you have a reason to do it, then if it's a good enough reason, it's clearly not being nice. Because of that, you're allowed to, in the case of a mitzvah to rob, if it would just be a normal mitzvah, then I would say, look, it's better not to do something, you know, and not to have your minion than to actively do an iser. But the active, when it's done for the purpose of the rabbim, is more kedai. Remember Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, a person should always wake up early to go to shul because that way he could be one of the first of the 10 people, in which case even if 100 people come to shul afterwards, you take all of the sakhar. What? What do you take all of the sakhar? What does that mean? Everybody who came to shul doesn't get any sakhar. It all goes to you? No, I meant that he gets sakhar, the equivalent of all of the other people. Ravuna said, if you've got 9 people with an orain that has a Sefer Torah in it, You could be Mitzarif the Aron. You know, most people say Aron, Aron. They think it's the same thing. But yeah, Reb Aron is here, you know. So we can include the Aron as number 10. So I'm like, what? The Aron's not a person. Don't you need people? What Ravuna was really saying is that if you've got 9 people and they're gathered in such a way, it looks like there's 10 people there in the shul. Some say that means that they're all gathered around the Aron and it looks like you got a lot of people there. Others say, on the contrary, they're spread out all over the shul, so it looks like a lot of people. You could be samech on that. Another thing that Rabbi said was, if you've got 2 people and it's Shabbos, then you've got already a good enough zimun. Amar le Rav Nachman, what do you mean Shabbos is a person? No, what he meant was that Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, this is an amazing halacha, that Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, Achadim Zed Zeb Halacha Mitzarfim, that since on Shabbos, when people are sitting together, they always are discussing the Parsha, they're discussing the Gemara, whatever. So the din over there is that there are 3 people sitting there. Think about the implications of such a thing. Why are there 3 people sitting there? Because between the 2 of you, there emerges things that neither of you knew. So that emergent personality between you is a real personality. And because of that, for all intents and purposes, there's 3 of you sitting there. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing. So since they're mechadidim, it's as if there's 3. And Rav Chista pointed out, yeah, like me and Rav Sheshes, man, the 2 of us are 3. And Rav Sheshes pointed to Rav Chista, yeah, like me and Rav Chista. Rabbi Yochanan says, if you have a katan, as long as he is sprouting, you could be mezaminol. What does sprouting mean? This is a big machlokas. It means obviously he's sprouting pubic hairs, but the question is, what's the problem? I mean, so then he's a gadol. So obviously he's not in his 13th year, or sprouting means his pubic hairs are too short, because remember, a hair has to be long enough that it's enough that you could be mahapich, the rosho ad ikro, tanin amiyochi. Once a katan is maybe shtei sa'arot, even though he's a katan, you could be mezamin on him. But if he's lo maybe shtei sa'arot, ein mezamnim aleihem. But come on, man, stop, you know, getting into it all. Ein medaktikin bekatan. He's a katan. That's good enough. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? He's a katan. That's good enough. First, you say you get into all the size of his pubic hairs, and then you say dafka kir shtei sa'arot, and then you say, but we don't really care. Ein medaktikin bekatan. What does that mean? I mean, when you say that you aim a doctorkin, doesn't that mean that you can include anything? So that's a lie to you, katan poreach. So apparently what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is correct. No, says the Gemara. The truth is, halacha is not like any of this stuff. We do not ever allow, we certainly don't allow an infant who's in the cradle or the orine or any of these things. And the din is like this. We will allow a katan to participate if he knows who the bracha is being made to. And if not, then we do not allow him to participate. Now, this is actually the way that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, by the way, like the Mice of Abaya and Rava, when both of them were little kids, they were in front of Rabba. Remember, Rabba raised Abaya, you know, so he was a little kid in the house. And they're sitting there at the table, so Rabba says to them, who do you think we're making this bracha to, you know? So they said, we're making it to God. To Rachmana. Yeah, he says, where does this Rachmana live? Says Rabba to them. Like, where is he, this Rachmana? So Rava points to the ceiling. Abaya walks out of the house to be able to point to the sky. That's pretty good, you know? Okay, so Abaya gets up, leaves the table, and points Klapei Shamaya. So Rabba said to them, good kiddies, both of you are going to end up being big Talmidei Chachamim. And how did Amrishpinche people say, little pumpkins, the small pumpkins, butzin, mikitve yedia. You know, when they have a little bit of sap in them, and you get a little taste, you already know they're going to be big, yummy pumpkins. So we know that our little pumpkins, Abaya Varova, are going to end up being nice big pumpkins one day. Anyway, this is one of these famous halakhas where the Shulchan Aruch Paskins indeed like this Gemara, and because of that, the Sfardim will be mitzarif a little pumpkin. But the Ashkenazim go follow the Ramah. The Ramah says the minig is not to do it, and we shouldn't be mavata l'minig. And so the Ashkenazim get all hung up. And unless you've got these 3 serious people, you do not make a zimun.